Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming man who infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
It's very hard for me right now.
He was the masked machine behind Slipknot's chaos.
I'm Joey from Slipknot. I'm number one, and I play the drum.
And one of the greatest metal drummers of all time.
Joey's the best drummer in the world.
While the world saw the chaos on stage, few knew how truly terrifying things actually got behind the scenes.
I'm in shock. I can't believe it.
This is the story of Joey Jordison. Nathan Jonas Jordison was born on April 26, 1975 in Des Moines, Iowa. Back then, it was a fucking boring town with nothing much to do. Unfortunately, or luckily, his parents were very busy working on a number of family businesses, which included a funeral home and a bowling alley, and often sat him in front of the radio to babysit him, sparking a lifelong love of rock. Noticing his love for music, his parents bought him a guitar when he was just a baby.
My parents introduced me to Black Sabbath at a very young age and also Led Zeppelin, etc. But I think the first one that might have freaked them out was Venom, black metal.
Why was that different?
Because I had it on vinyl, and of course it makes no sense to my parents, you know. And you know, it's very garage, it's very fast. And I'd play that very, very, very loud, and I had it on vinyl. I played it repeatedly. And same with Merciful Fate, Don't Break the Yoke. Were two ones. My mom would get so irritated, and my dad with those two records, and I was obsessed with them, and then they're still two of my favorite records to this day.
At age 7, Joey received his first drum kit. And even at such a young age, he found his true calling in life.
As your main influences, you cite Keith Moon, John Bonham, Peter Criss, Gene Krupa, and Buddy Rich.
Very true.
Those are your main guys?
Yeah. That and the reason I say that, that's kind of how I started. That's what got me into music, like when I was really young. Talking about like when I'm 5 years old, when I started playing music. I started on guitar around 5, yeah. And I transitioned to drums around 7. But I was still in classic rock. It wasn't until I heard Kiss Alive is when I started getting into... That was my first cassette I ever bought was Kiss Alive, just because of the cover.
Yeah.
And I was changed forever then. So, and from then, I just became completely engulfed in metal. Even though I wouldn't consider Kiss necessarily a metal band.
Yeah.
But to me, you know, going from like, you know, the Rolling Stones and The Who and stuff like that, it was. And then from then, it just like started moving on when I started getting into the thrash scene.
By his teen years, he was already active in the local Iowa metal scene, playing in speed thrash bands like Modiphidius. This early experience honed his skills and introduced him to fellow local musicians who would later join him in a much bigger project. Notably, Modiphidius even opened for bands featuring future Slipknot members Jim Root and Sean Cran, but his teen years weren't shaped by his love for music alone. In fact, Jordison spent a lot of time at his family's funeral home getting familiar with the concept of death.
The thing is, like, I always take care of my family. I look after my family. My stepfather passed away. He's the one that owned all the funeral homes once my mom remarried. And, yeah, we had five funeral homes, and, yes, I would occasionally help, you know, with the duties that encompass, you know, owning businesses like that. And just like, you know, my whole family did as well. It's not just me, so I can't take total credit. But I just, you know, I would help out, and that was just part of our family business, you know. And, you know, my stepfather, Mike, God rest his soul and all that stuff, you know, he passed away, and my mother sold the funeral homes and all that stuff like that. But, yeah, that was a big part of my life at that time.
By the mid-90s, Jordison juggled a bunch of dead-end jobs, which by then also included a night shift at a gas station with music.
I would be practicing with my old band, like, Modifidius, and then, like, we would go down there, like, after hours, and we would just listen to metal, like, 10 to 8, and I'm like, this is just the raddest job ever, and, yeah. You know, the owner and manager, Dwayne, you know, he was, you know, I asked him for a job because it was just perfect. I could listen to metal all the time, you know, work from, like, I could go to band practice at 6 o'clock, you know, and go until like 9:30. Then I would go right to Sinclair, listen to metal, and all the guys in Slipknot would come down there, and we'd just start mapping out everything that was going on, you know, or what we wanted to do, you know, from 1995, and I worked there till like about 97, and then things started taking off around 98.
Awesome.
And it was during one of those late night shifts in early 1995 that bassist Paul Gray approached Joey about a new heavy music project dubbed The Pale Ones. And obviously, Joey jumped at the opportunity to join the band.
Super Ball is right.
Super Ball is right. That was a nickname that I got in the early Slipknot days because I get myself so worked up. I was kind of like literally bouncing off the walls. And Sean from Slipknot, Clown, he's like, man, you're like a Super Ball. And it just ended up sticking, you know, with the crew and the band and everything. So that's how I got the nickname. It was a long time ago. This is like 1997, 98.
Way back.
So, yeah.
All right, so there you go.
For a deeper dive into Slipknot's early days, I have plenty other videos on my channel you can check out later. In this video, I want to focus on Joey, so I won't go too deep into that. By the way, if you haven't already, subscribe now so you don't miss out on my other videos. However, the Pale Ones project wasn't really taking off, so they decided to rebrand themselves and rename the band Slipknot.
It wasn't my total idea to call the band Slipknot. It was a band discussion, and it was a unified thing. I did suggest it, and it was a conversation between me and Sean Cran. And we were like, you know, because we were originally called the Pale Ones, and then we were called Meld. And then neither one of those names were really working, so we kind of were just spitballing in a band meeting, and like, it was just a suggestion. So,
unbeknownst to them, they were laying the groundwork for one of the biggest metal bands ever. Slipknot's early formula wasn't complicated. It was a primordial mix of brutal energy, total spectacle, and suffocating violence. Soon, the band grew into a nine-man army.
And we just started grabbing everyone we could that we knew that would concoct. Like, in our opinion, at least if all we wanted to be is like the biggest band in Des Moines, whatever we could do. And, you know, it ended up working, and next thing you know, we did well for ourselves.
Every member wore a creepy mask and a numbered jumpsuit.
You know, I joined Slipknot afterwards, but they were wearing masks already. And the reason that they started wearing the masks was because it allowed them and it's allowed us to kind of let that animal off the chain, basically. It allowed us to kind of be free on stage.
How much of the act do you wear it?
Joey got number one, which was perfectly fitting for the man driving their music's brutal heartbeat.
I'm Joey from Slipknot. I'm number one, and I play the drums.
Slipknot's rise didn't take long. The combination of aggressive local shows and a self-released demo in 1996 started building momentum. But the key move was adding Corey Taylor as the lead vocalist, completing the lineup and sharpening their sound.
The first time I met him was when he was working at a porn store.
Yeah.
And their band, he was, you know, we needed a vocalist for our band. We were changing lineups. And I remember when we showed up, I remember that he was really nervous that me and Sean were there. Because me and Sean never went out anywhere, especially over there to the south side, way out of the way, and in a porn store. So Corey is really nervous when we first showed up, because he just didn't know what the fuck me and Sean were doing there. He was, like, really nervous. And then we just went up to him and said, hey, we'd like you to audition for a band. Corey is like, that's it? he's like envisioning all these other reasons, because we were fucking crazy in the earlier days, man. Like, we were at war with everyone. So Corey's like, why the hell are those two guys here?
Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming Manny infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
You know, so always with us too, by the three of them here, and it was kind of funny just watching Corey because he was so nervous, but we needed him, you know. And I remember the first song he recorded was "Me Inside," and me and Sean were sitting there at SR Audio. He had the chorus, and we both looked at each other and were like, "That's the guy."
And that's when Roadrunner Records stepped in, offering them a record deal. Which takes us to 1999, when their self-titled debut album was out, and they got a slot on Ozfest, which at the time was one of the most important metal festivals. Their performances there made them instant legends. They obviously stood out and got a massive following, which fueled their debut album's success. It went platinum and introduced major tracks like Wait and Bleed and surfacing to a global audience.
It's world domination for this band, no other way.
In 2001, Slipknot raised the stakes with Iowa, a darker and heavier album that firmly established them as a dominant force in American metal. Again, I have released a full mini documentary on that album that you can watch later. Keep in mind, much of the band's signature sound came from Joey Jordison himself. In fact, his rapid-fire double bass drumming became instantly iconic.
It's extremely sick and brutal, but it's all within the realm of being controlled and having fun, and everyone leaves, you know, with a positive experience.
Joey's the best drummer in the world and my best friend, you know, so there you go.
But Joey's role wasn't limited to the drums. He co-wrote many of Slipknot's most famous songs and even produced their live album in 2005. The guy lived and breathed Slipknot.
My passion about music is always just trying to write a better song each time I do it, so the more I work at it, hopefully the better I'll get at it.
Even with Slipknot's insane schedule, Jordison couldn't sit still. In 2002, during a break, he launched Murder Dolls, a horror punk band where Joey traded his drumsticks for a guitar. Their first album, Beyond the Valley of the Murder Dolls, let Joey lean into his love of glam horror punk and prove he wasn't just a drummer.
Do you have any other real passions in life outside of music, something that doesn't even have anything to do with it, that's something that you hold dear? You know, that's a, you know, I'll get that question a lot, and I don't have any other things I do besides music completely. Like, all that's all I care about.
And then came one of his most legendary moments, June 6th, 2004. That's when Metallica's Lars Ulrich fell ill, just before a headlining set at the Download Festival. With only minutes' notice, Metallica recruited Joey Jordison to fill in on drums. Donning his Slipknot mask, Joey sat in and absolutely crushed an 8-song set without missing a beat.
I love Metallica so much. How did it feel for you to be playing in the place of Lars Ulrich for such a great band like Metallica?
I knew that question was coming. What can I really say? It was a dream come true. It was an amazing experience. I mean, there's really not any words you can really put it into. I mean, he's never missed a show in 23 years. And I happened to be there, and got the chance to do it.
As Download Festival organizer Andy Copping recalled, seeing Joey play with Metallica in his Slipknot mask was something I will never forget. He saved the day. It was a legendary moment that underscored Jordison's reputation as a versatile and reliable drum powerhouse, even under an enormous amount of pressure. By 2010, his reputation was undeniable. A major drum magazine poll even named Joey the greatest drummer of the past 25 years, a testament to the impact of his ferocious skill behind the kit. Back with Slipknot, Jordison's dedication never wavered. He balanced side gigs like guest producing and touring with other acts, yet remained the rhythmic backbone of Slipknot on every album and tour. Fans worldwide were blown away by Joey's insane drum solos, often performed on a spinning hydraulic riser that tilted him sideways or flipped him upside down, all while he kept drumming at full speed. It was pure spectacle and a highlight of every show.
I don't take it for granted at all anymore, man. Like, I'll be up at 4 o'clock still playing, 4 o'clock in the morning still playing and getting yelled at.
But even Joey's body had limits. In August 2008, he broke an ankle, forcing Slipknot to cancel some shows while he recovered. Then, in summer 2009, disaster struck again. A burst appendix sent him to the ER just an hour before a concert, leading to more tour cancellations. Joey was fiercely committed to the band. Stopping a show was always his last option. But these health scares were the first signs that even this drumming machine couldn't run at full throttle forever.
Developing story right now, just within the last few hours, we've confirmed that the bassist for the band Slipknot has died.
He was found dead in an Urbandale motel room. News Channel 8's Amanda Lewis has the details. Amanda.
Well, they've been circulating rumors all day about 38-year-old Paul.
Tragically, the band's momentum was dealt a heavy blow in 2010 when founding bassist Paul Gray died from an overdose. Paul was one of Joey's closest friends and a fundamental part of Slipknot's chemistry since the beginning. Jordison was devastated by the loss.
I'd just like to say that I miss my brother so much. This is very hard for me right now. I just want to say that I love you, Paul. Very much. Be sorely missed by the world over. God bless you, and thank you for all the great times that we had together. I love you so much.
After Paul's death, Slipknot entered a period of uncertainty and grief-fueled hiatus. They performed a few tribute shows in 2011, but any plans for a new album were put on hold as members coped with the loss. Jordison, however, channeled his energy into more music. In 2013, he launched a new side band called Scar the Martyr, indicating that he wasn't slowing down creatively.
I started writing material about a year and a half ago, and basically I was accumulating so much original material since the last Slipknot record that I wanted to go in and demo, you know, a bunch of stuff. And once I got in there, I decided to kind of, you know, divert my path on what I was trying a bunch of different musical styles I hadn't tried before. So I just went on a total experimental craze and just kind of locked myself in the studio for like 2 months. And I came out with a batch of songs that basically became the framework for what now has turned into Scar the Martyr. So I came up with, I think, about 14 songs. And from then on, I'm like, well, Slipknot's not active right now, and this stuff is way too good. So I started envisioning like a whole nother project. And because it was getting really personal, I was getting really involved with this music. So it was then that I decided to start looking for a vocalist.
Little did anyone know that behind the scenes, Joey was beginning to fight an invisible battle that would soon drastically change his path. And then Slipknot shocked fans by announcing that Joey Jordison was no longer in the band.
Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming man who infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
And on December 12th, 2013, an official statement appeared on Slipknot's website declaring that the band and Joey were parting ways for personal reasons. Slipknot's official announcement was deliberately vague. It simply wished Joey the best and asked for fans' understanding, offering no specifics about the situation. But fans weren't stupid. Joey was Slipknot for 18 years. The lack of answers only fueled the confusion and speculation. Eventually, Joey released a blunt statement on Facebook. "This band has been my life for the last 18 years, and I would never abandon it." Adding that the news of him being out of the band shocked and blindsided him as much as it did everyone else. So Joey confirmed what many suspected. He had been fired, but the reasons behind the decision remained unclear. Was it personal issues, substance abuse, or creative disagreements? The combination of Slipknot's brief statement and Joey's limited public remarks only intensified the mystery surrounding his exit. For their part, Slipknot's members remain largely silent on the specifics, citing legal and personal constraints. Corey Taylor spoke carefully in interviews, indicating that it was a very painful decision for the band. Slipknot moved forward in 2014 with a new drummer and a new bassist and released their fifth album titled 5, The Gray Chapter. It took until June 2016 for the truth to finally come out, and it was both heartbreaking and surprising. At the Metal Hammer Golden Gods Awards in London, while accepting the Golden God Award, Joey finally revealed the truth behind his departure. He revealed that back in 2012, his body started betraying him. He began battling transverse myelitis, a vicious neurological disease that inflames the spinal cord and destroys your ability to control your body. The illness had essentially attacked his nervous system and left him temporarily unable to move.
But, you know, like towards my time in the, you know, end of my career in Slipknot, I got really, really sick with a horrible disease called transverse myelitis. I lost my legs. I couldn't play anymore. It was a form of multiple sclerosis, which I don't wish on my worst enemy.
It was a heartbreaking admission. Jordison explained that before getting fired, his health was in chaos and his legs had effectively given out on him. At one point during his final tour with Slipknot, he had to be carried to the stage because he couldn't walk. He also made it known he had been basically fired by the band with an email as he was laying in a hospital bed. But the good news in Jordison's 2016 speech was that he had worked tirelessly to recover.
I got myself back up, and I got myself in the gym, and I got myself back in fucking therapy to fucking beat this shit. And if I can do it, you can do it. It's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, more than fucking anything, to people with multiple sclerosis, transverse myelitis, or anything like that. I am living proof that you can fucking beat this shit. And then fucking metal and all these fans will do it for you. This is the fucking world right here. Thank you so much to my lady.
Even while his body was falling apart, Joey refused to stop creating. Just weeks before Slipknot announced his firing, he dropped a full album with his side project, Scar the Martyr. The self-titled record hit in October 2013. Joey wrote most of it, played drums, and pushed the sound into a dark industrial metal zone, showing he wasn't done pushing boundaries. The band toured briefly, but after Joey's health collapsed, their singer bailed in 2014. And the band was quietly dismantled. Jordison soon launched a fresh venture in 2016, Vimic, essentially an evolution of Scar the Martyr with a new vocalist. They recorded an album called Open Your Omen and released a couple of singles.
It's being on tours like this, and we're all anticipating the new record, Open Your Omen. Is it still going to be called that?
Yes, it is. Still,
yep, same title.
Cool. I know that a 2017 release date was originally hoped for. Is that still going to happen?
It's definitely going to happen this year. Right. We can't give the exact date out because we're working all the, you know, the nonsense out with the finishing of it. But yeah. It's going to be out this year, and everyone will enjoy it very much.
However, due to label issues and Joey's own health and schedule, the album's release got postponed indefinitely. Around the same time, Jordison teamed up with famed French metal vocalist Stéphane Burier and Dragon Force bassist Frédéric Leclerc to form the extreme metal supergroup Sinsanum.
We first met in 2008. We were on tour together.
You know, we started hanging out backstage, and, you know, this is one thing that, you know, a lot of people need to know is, like, you just never really judge a person by, like, the band that they're in. Sometimes you never know exactly, like, somewhere, you know, where their heart lies or, like, what they might be into. So when me and Fred met, it was... you know, just during the night, just hanging out, like, with a bunch of people. And we started talking about, like, metal. And, like, I did not realize, you know, his background and how much he had a love for death and black metal.
In this band, Joey returned to his musical roots in death, black metal, delivering blast beats and dark atmospheres reminiscent of his earliest influences.
I've been wanting to do a little bit more of an extreme project. I've been mentioning this for a while, you know, doing a death metal or black metal hybrid, but I didn't know, like, the person that I could necessarily, you know, start to do this with. Fred and me started talking over the phone, like, you know, when we were off tour and everything, and that's how it started.
The band released two well-received studio albums and a few EPs, proving that Jordison's drumming fire was still very much alive and respected in the metal community.
The thing is, you know, is like we have established like a certain sound, you know, and in Sinsanum, you know, especially with, you know, how we construct songs, and also, you know, with Sean and Attila's voices, you know, I really think that we've, you know, stamped on something that's very special, and also that, you know, it's really killer that we get out here and we get to play for people. So there's a reason that we're here.
Throughout these years, Joey also toured briefly as a fill-in drummer for bands like Satyricon and Korn when they needed a hand. Each time, promoters would emphasize Jordison's pedigree as Slipknot's founding drummer, underscoring the respect he earned. While none of these later projects reached Slipknot's commercial heights, they allowed Joey to continue doing what he loved on his own terms. Fans who followed his post-Slipknot output saw a musician who was happy to be behind the kit again, recovered from his illness and playing ferociously. But sadly, Joey's story doesn't end here. Even after Jordison seemingly stepped out of the spotlight, his influence refused to die. Younger drummers still worshipped him, and the metal press kept putting his name on every greatest of all time list. I mean, Slipknot or not, his legacy was bulletproof. Still, many fans quietly hope that one day Joey and Slipknot might reconcile, at least personally, if not on stage. But those hopes ended on July 26th, 2021, when Joey unexpectedly passed away at the age of 40.
Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming Manny infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
6. There was no overdose or accident. It was sudden and quiet. It was like a switch flipped and he was simply gone. His family said he passed peacefully in his sleep.
In a statement from his family through Rolling Stone magazine, they say Jordison died peacefully in his sleep. No word on the cause of death. Slipknot has been known for their...
I'm in shock. I can't believe it. He's such a... That guy is such a fucking warrior. Loved drums, loved music, loved playing, would jump in and play with anybody if he felt like it was, you know, a passion. Because he just loved heavy music. He loved playing his instrument. It's very sad. It's very sad that he's gone so young.
Slipknot stayed quiet at first, but then came their response. An 8-minute video packed with vulnerable and brutal emotion, honoring Joey's years at the heart of the band. A public goodbye to the man who'd driven their chaos for nearly 2 decades.
when you're on stage, like you were talking about, it's a big family, do you ever look back and still think you're going to see Joey back there, look to the left or right, and think you're going to see the pig?
I mean, there are definitely moments where, especially during certain songs, that I remember little moments that me and Joey would have.
Yeah.
You know, and we would always kind of look at each other and we'd fucking make each other laugh, you know.
The music world and countless fans alike felt deep gratitude for the music Joey gave the world, mixed with heartbreak that his life was cut short. Joey Jordison's story was one of passion, fame, and suffering. From garage bands in Iowa to packed arenas worldwide, he never lost his love for drumming.
I think it's just just the fact that, you know, me stepping on stage and sitting down, connecting with the audience, I always take a real hard look and try and see as many faces possible before I count a song off, just to try and connect with everybody really quick, even though I don't have a lot of time. But I can do it, between songs and stuff like that. I'll always, go out and watch a little bit of, the opening bands and everything, just to get a vibe of the room and see, how it's, how it feels out there and everything, just to kind of let it soak in before I go on stage.
He wrote, he played, and produced songs that became metal anthems, songs that will outlive him, as well as all of us. With Slipknot, Joey pushed live shows to the extreme, but he also showed his skills in pure metal settings, whether filling in for Metallica or ripping on guitar with Murder Dolls. When faced with a devastating health crisis, he fought his way back onto the drum throne, refusing to let his story end in silence.
When I get up there, man, it's kind of like, in a way, it's a celebration and a thank you, but then once I sit down, it's almost like a blackout. Because I kind of just, as soon as the four count happens and I go into it, it's the headbanging starts and I just kind of zone out into another world. I don't see much.
Today, Joey Jordison is remembered as one of the most influential metal drummers of his generation, a founding member of a genre-defining band, and a musician whose contributions went beyond the masks and mania of Slipknot. His legacy lives on every time a young drummer in a Slipknot t-shirt sits down at a kit. He poured everything into his music, even when others tried to stop him, even when his own body tried to stop him. He kept finding ways to push forward and do what he loved. Death took him, but the art he made refuses to die.